take. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What is up, everybody? I'm sorry, Browns Free Friday on a temporary hiatus.
It is over.
It is over because it is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Our Ohio business machine hot topic of the day is going to be as follows. Who is the greatest quarterback of all time? Joe Montana or Tom Brady? The kid and I will be debating that. Wilhelm, you're going to weigh in. We want all of you to weigh in today at 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns underscore daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Da Kid, that's D-A-K-I-D 97 on Twitter. And you can tell us Montana or Brady. We're also going to have Bruce Feldman with us, the senior college football reporter for Fox Sports. Fox Sports 1 at 1:30 wrote a great article about Johnny Manziel, saying his greatest strength, also his greatest weakness. He's the author of The Quarterback, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks, which features Johnny Manziel and his workouts leading up to being drafted. So definitely that'll be an interesting conversation at 1:30. 2 o'clock, Andrew Gribble will be by. We've got the Friday forecast in the second hour. But really what we're going to get into today is a little bit of this Brady and Montana, and we're going to have plenty of time to do that. I got to say, first of all, props have been brought in here. We've got a Matt Wilhelm bobblehead in studio today. And then the kid has brought a Chucky Wood autographed Michigan helmet.
Boo.
Matt Wilhelm, how you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, guys. And again, we've been calling for the bobblehead for weeks now.
And it's here.
And it is our best interest to continue to add to the studio so that therefore people can not only tune into us on the radio, but maybe via webcam of some sort. And I know the Cleveland Browns have that in their pipeline. So I figure the more value that we can add to this studio and make, you know, I know we'd have to be on our best behavior, but the more fun we can have, you know, we watch Mike and Mike, you see Dan Patrick's show and so on and so forth. And they have props. So we're starting the prop process. And I figured what better than, you know, my own bobblehead.
You know, what's interesting to me, though, it reminds me of Zoolander because you're standing over the stadium.
Yes.
How could they play in there if they can't even get inside the building?
How do they throw the ball without breaking it? Made of glass.
It's made of glass right now. The kid, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. The Michigan helmet, while it is a Chucky Wood, is more of symbolic of my support of Tommy Terrific today. I wore a little New England blue shirt as well.
I noticed that.
Red underwear.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the red underwear.
No, not at all. So before we get into this, and obviously I know the kid, you're armed with your facts on Tom Brady's side. I'm going to be on the Joe Montana side, and we do want to hear from all of you. Let me just say this. I was there last night. How about the Cavaliers with a beatdown? I mean, that was a beatdown that they put on the Clippers.
You know, the kid and I talked about it, you know, prior to you walking in the studio, and I said the very same thing. You know, we got to witness them beat Portland when, you know, Kyrie dropped 55,
sure,
which is great. And they're a top four team in the West. The Clippers are slightly behind them, but still, I think the Clippers, I believe at maybe 33-17 or 36-17 would be, you know, a three seed in the Eastern Conference or just about. And so it was a quality win. And as I said to the kid, the greatest thing that I love is not only did they dominate a very good team, but the opportunity for LeBron and his boys, all five starters, to chill and laugh and have fun, and more so than anything, rest, you know, the entire fourth quarter is a luxury that I think this team is going to see happen more often than not throughout this last stretch.
Yeah, and what's real nice is I keep reading that they're playing a weak portion of the schedule, but by my count in this winning streak, they've beaten five really good teams. I'd like to hear Gibbs maybe pop in here and tell me why Windy feels this is such a weak schedule they've been playing against. But they're beating teams, and they're beating them convincingly. I went through the schedule last night because I'm that sort of geek, and I look for a 27-4 finish to the season is what I'm predicting, which will put them as the number two seed in the East.
Even with LeBron sitting a few back-to-backs?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in the Portland game.
You can do it without him. You know what's amazing about this game, though? There was a point where they were up 30-plus in the third quarter, and Kyrie still hadn't made a field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I was saying to myself, that's why I know that this team can win it all. Because when you have three guys, you can have one of them can be off. And he was off. And by the way, J.R. Smith, a fantastic addition. And so is Mozgov.
Do you have his jersey yet?
Mozgov. I'm not a jersey guy. There's only one jersey guy in this studio right now, and it's not me.
It's not me.
But J.R. Smith is my type of ball player, folks.
Get that T-shirt with his number on it then, because you could be a T-shirt guy, just not
I
a jersey
be a
guy.
T-shirt
there
guy.
You go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that they make T-shirts with his name on it, but maybe sure I'll create
do.
One.
Go down to the queue. Walk into the team shop.
Listen, this team right now is so good, and they're so fun to watch, and they're having fun, and you got to give it to David Griffin. These moves have changed the entire season.
I also think that, and I think I've said this before, but the fact that they struggled early in the season makes it so much more enjoyable. Had they just come out and run the table, everyone would have been, oh, it was a foregone conclusion. This is no, but they struggled. 19 and 20, and now it just makes it all that much sweeter.
It does, and you know what? Yes. For me personally too, as you evaluate that roster, I actually wanted to see, you know, the bench players actually get some minutes and see what kind of value we have on the bench, because they're going to be called upon to make that championship run, to play quality minutes against a good opponent. The one guy that I'm excited about is Amon Shumpert. That dude can shake anybody, he can defend anybody, but the one thing he's got to work on is finishing, because he got to the rack a couple times yesterday and just flailed with the ball, and I think he missed a couple layups down the stretch, and that 29 point lead went down to 12.
Well,
you know,
our back. I mean,
yeah, we. I think the one.
Whenever Dellavedova's handling the ball the majority of the time, you're off.
How about Austin Rivers
not
getting up in his stuff towards the end of the game too? Those two were chipping at each other.
Austin Rivers has become a debacle,
joke, and that team is a joke. Doc Rivers is a lucky coach that won a championship with a team that one year with his Ubonte stuff. He's a joke. Chris Paul's one of the most overrated players in history of sports. The guy's won three playoff series, I think, in his whole career, maybe four, and everybody talks about how good he is. That team stinks, and they're going to go out early.
Well,
kid, how do you feel about Chris Paul?
Ugh.
How about Blake Griffin?
I like Blake Griffin a little bit. Not a lot, but more
I just
than
like
I
the
like.
Fact that he can dunk like a monster. That's
yeah, but
it.
He didn't like Mozgov giving him a little. He was crying. Yet they cry every 5 seconds.
There was a lot of crying. They got teed up quite a bit. Then they were calling out the women, the
five
female
times,
referee.
Yeah.
I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. That tee that Chris Paul got was ridiculous.
He was basically
saying, give me the ball, and she tees him up. I mean, come on.
He was saying, whoa, 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 he says.
And why is there people are saying, it was like sexism that he said that she's a bad official. I mean, I heard the quote.
He said, I'm not sure this is the right job for her.
Okay, so let's say you didn't think I was whatever job I had, I wasn't right for, and you said, I'm not sure that's the right job for him. Is that
I agree.
Sexist? It's a ridiculous controversy.
I don't disagree with you, but I think you've got to be, when he's the head of the Players Association, they're saying he's got to just choose his words a little more carefully and be a little more judicious. And not put a female pronoun out there, just say call her by her name.
I mean, this is way too politically correct of a
I agree. I think it's
we're talking about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is a little bit ridiculous. As I said, Bruce Feldman will be here. I want to get your guys' take on this, because Pat McManaman and Tony Grossi both believe that the Browns must re-sign Brian Hoyer and trade Johnny Manziel before this season gets underway as part of the offseason program. Your thoughts on that?
I'm not digging it. And a lot of the reason why is I think it's Brian Hoyer, to me, is still a Band-Aid for this organization. Because Brian Hoyer can win football games, okay? And I don't believe that Brian Hoyer has the skill set, regardless of how talented we get around him, to make that huge step, especially at 30 years of age. You know, darn near 31, when we're going to want to sign him for the next 3 to 5 years. And if, you know, those of you who follow the show and have been listening, the person that I want to come in and be the starter of this team is for the next 3 to 5 years, you know? And that's a high quality of play. And as we said, Brian Hoyer is not even mentioned in the top 15 quarterbacks in the National Football League, okay? But yet the top 15 quarterbacks in the league are the ones fighting for a playoff spot each and every year, and in most cases the top 12, I'll say 9 out of 12 of those are the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, but they've got a great system around them. So unless he can show us that, and I also do, I believe if Brian Hoyer is so skilled, why is it a walk back to Cleveland and another team not throwing a lot of money at him if they really feel he's that good and he can be the guy for an organization in the National Football League?
I think there's a lot of other quarterbacks out there I'd rather have than Brian Hoyer. And as far as Johnny Manziel goes, I mean, no matter what walk of life you trade in, you can't sell low. I mean, Johnny Manziel's value could not be any lower right now. even if you don't think he's the answer down the road, what are you going to get for him right now? You're just not going to get much for him right now. I like your call yesterday of Mike Glennon. I think he's got some upside. I'd much rather him to Brian Hoyer. I hate to even say it, but I'd rather Mark Sanchez to Brian Hoyer.
But do you feel like Glennon's an experiment?
I don't think, you know what, I looked up his stats yesterday, and Mike Glennon, actually, his numbers are a lot better than I think you might think.
Yeah.
Given, you know, how the system and the situation he came into 2 years ago, and then playing again last year. For his career, Glennon's completed just under 60% of his passes. He has thrown for average about 7 yards an attempt, 29 touchdowns, only 15 interceptions. So that's actually a fairly good ratio of touchdowns to interceptions. He threw 19 with 9 interceptions back in 2013. He's 6'7", 225. He's got the strong arm. But I think if you get a guy like Mike Glennon, it's imperative then that you probably add a receiver in free agency and the draft to give him those targets that he excels with. He played very well with Mike Evans. If you remember, he was the quarterback of the game here against us and threw the 2 touchdowns to Mike Evans against Buster Screen, taking advantage, obviously, of the height mismatch there. In his starts, when you think about the Browns, this is crazy, but in four of his last five starts last year, Glennon threw multiple touchdown passes, and he's thrown multiple touchdown passes basically in 5 of the last 7 in 2013. So this is a guy who had more multiple touchdown passing games in his last 16 than the Browns even could dream of.
How many
season.
Does Hoyer have in his career?
Hoyer does not have not that many in his whole career. So Glennon in his career, but Hoyer really only has started, you know, one season. But
well, how many seasons is Glennon hasn't started that many games?
Glennon has started 18 career games.
Okay, and how many has Hoyer started?
And Hoyer has started, I'm going to pull it up, he had 3 coming into this year, what, and he did 10 and 11 this year or 12 this year?
Something like that.
What are some of the weaknesses of a guy like Mike Glennon?
He's a total pocket passer, statuesque. His arm is good, not great. Put it in perspective, Brian Hoyer had 2 multiple touchdown passing games all season. Brian Hoyer on the year, by the way, had 5 multiple interception games, and he had 2 multiple touchdown passing games the year before, so he's had 4 in his career.
Sounds to me like Mike Glennon's taking us to the Super Bowl.
I don't think Mike Glennon's taking us to the Super Bowl, but listen, in the AFC North, you got to have a big guy. You got to have a strong arm. Assuming the Tampa takes Winston first overall, they've just paid Josh McCown to be the veteran. They've got Winston to be the rookie. Mike Glennon would be somebody I'd imagine you'd be able to acquire for a very reasonable price.
Very reasonable.
Maybe 6th or 7th?
Yeah, maybe. And I think at that point, then it becomes something that's something worth looking at. As I said, 6'7", good arm, pocket passer. I think that he could fit in well with what the Browns are trying to do. It's just a matter of if that's somebody that the Browns find appealing. He's obviously got his warts, but he's not that great. You know, he's not he's not that great of a quarterback. But listen, right now the Browns are looking for somebody that maybe could come and get hot. He fits the size requirements.
He's what, 25 years old?
Yeah, he's only going to be entering his 3rd season.
And he's still on a rookie contract. So imagine if you go into the season just from a salary cap perspective, with him and Johnny, your quarterback money is so much less than all the other teams out there, that stands to reason that you have more money to spend elsewhere and bolster the roster.
And speaking of Johnny, that gets to the other part of this, is do you trade Johnny Manziel? Now, if somebody called up to me and said, yo, I'm going to give you a number 1 for Johnny Manziel, okay.
Come on. You
would do that. That's not going to happen
now. I think
now.
At 2, you even say, come on.
Yeah. Dallas would be the logical one. But I'm not trading Johnny Manziel right now for a late-round pick, as was suggested in Tony Grossi's article today. You know, a 7th-round pick? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you see if you get anything from him? You're going to give up on him after 7 quarters for a 7th-round pick, a guy you just drafted in the 1st round? Maybe he is a bust, but if he's going to rehab, he's taking steps to clean himself up, then give him a shot to come back and play for your team.
I agree with you, Nathan, and the reason why I think it's ludicrous to say a 7th-round pick is because I would love to hear the statistics associated with the number of 7th-round picks that actually make the club. You know, in some cases, when a general manager and their scouting staff fall in love with guys that did not get drafted, they go and sign some of those undrafted free agents, and they're almost like preferred walk-ons at the college level. They want these guys to make the team so bad. They get them at such a great value that and in most cases, these guys come in, they're highly competitive. These scouts know that. They come out and they practice well and they play well in the preseason, and why in most cases they'll make the team over a 7th-round pick, because, you know, there's not a lot of money associated with a 7th-round pick. It's maybe, you know, 50, 60 grand between being drafted in the 7th round and being an undrafted free agent.
And the other thing is, even if you think Johnny Manziel is not going to be a star in the league, don't you want to at least give him a chance to see if he can be your backup quarterback? You would take a backup quarterback before the 7th round. So why to trade him for a 7th round? Tony Grossi, I'm not having that.
I agree. I just don't think it's the right move to do. There's nothing to be gained from it. That's my what do you gain from it? But the upside of hitting on that seventh round pick and what could come of it. Now, granted, you people could say, well, Tom Brady was a sixth round pick. Okay, but we know how historically
name another sixth round pick that did that has that done is. What Tom Brady has done. You know,
name another would you say player four, that's done.
Would you say
name
fourth,
a first round pick that's done what Tom Brady's done?
How about a fourth round or better for Johnny?
I say two or better.
Two or better
two
right
or better.
Now.
I want to see him. I want to see what he can do. I want to give him an opportunity to be the guy that you draft him to be. He's cleaning himself up. Let's see what he can do. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into it. We're going to start the beginning of Brady v. Montana. So we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Who do you believe is the greatest quarterback of all time, Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Still to come, Bruce Feldman will be with us. Andrew Gribble will be with us. We got the Friday forecast as well. So lots to get to here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thumping on the wheel ride. The mix and our drinks a little stronger than you think.